The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Gene.
Elizabeth. Are we live? Hello?
Yeah, we started. So, you know what's such, it's like the lifeblood of a company, but it's very hard to teach, is customer service.
Yes.
And how do you do that with your employees?
You do it by example.
Okay.
That's it. The tone comes from the top. And that is in my company, there's only 10 of us. So listen, you're a bigger organization. People like to send you on, you know, team meetings and training and all that's all very well and good. But it's like your kids are always watching how you behave. Your employees are always watching how you behave. And so I know that that's the case. And you know, it's funny that you say it. Like I complain about clients all the time to my employees. Like I'm, the clients are not, you know, and I know they complain about us. And you know,
oh, yeah,
I don't mind doing that. But I do think one thing that I do pretty good is I do get it across that everything we do is all about the client. What's the best for the client? What's in the best interest for the client? That comes with, like, if we have a billing issue or if we have a dispute or we have a problem or they disagree on something we want to do. Whenever I have these conversations with people in my company, it's very easy to just take a step back and say, guys, forget about our, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know, our agenda. In the end, what is going to be best for the client? And I think I get that across pretty good and people get that. So okay. I'm kind of proud of myself for that.
When we come back, we're going to talk about just that and creating a customer-centric mindset and how to get that to become part of your business's culture.
Ooh, is this a teaser?
That was a little teaser.
Yes.
We'll be right back after we hear from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back for over 1 million small business customers with property, liability, and workers' compensation insurance. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com.
Okay, we're back, and our question is from Miriam in Spearfish, South Dakota. She does not say what kind of business she runs. Well, anyway, here we go.
I would love to have it. Spearfish, I don't even know where that is. I'm going to look that up. Okay.
So here is her question. Mm-hmm. I feel like some of my employees really struggle with the concept of customer service. I'm not saying that the customer is always right, but I am saying that we should make every effort to help them resolve complaints. How do I make a customer-centric mindset part of my company's culture? So you already answered part of this question, that it does start from the top down.
Yeah. I don't know how many employees she has. I think it's really a challenge to do it at an organization as big as The Hartford, for example, where you've got tens of thousands of employees versus a small business. Like, I don't know how, you know, Miriam, I get the impression it's not that big.
Well, let's say she has 20 employees.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the more employees, the harder it gets, because you're supposed to be showing it as an example, then getting it, you know, getting that message through makes it that much harder. I just think you're demonstrating it by your actions. I think you have to, at the very least, if Miriam is growing, she's got 20 employees, I'm assuming in a company even that size, she probably has like two or three key managers that works for her, who then supervise the remainder of her employees. And those key people need to know what her value system is when it comes to customer service, and that they, you know, they do that. Now, I think there are some technologies out there, Elizabeth, that I think can really help provide really good customer service as well. Because I think in this day and age, there's face-to-face if you're dealing customer, but then if you're an online business or if you're just selling B2B, people want responses a lot quicker. And so you want to be leaning on your service management applications, your
social
media.
Be?
Well, for example, if you have a help desk system, or a service system. So if somebody has a problem, they can open up a ticket and then you get notified about it. So you can respond back to them very quickly. If you have chat on your website is very, very important. If you're sending out surveys so that people can give you feedback to know where you can improve on, you know, if you have a good, we sell. So this is sort of self-promoting, but customer relationship management systems are all about nurturing your customers' community with consistent communications to find out if there's any issues or more things you could be doing for them. Being proactive.
Yeah.
A lot of those technologies will help you be more proactive with your customers, and there's nothing better service than solving whatever problems they have really in advance.
So in order to make that part of your company's culture, because there's two separate questions here. It's how to do great customer service. We've talked about this before. I'm going to link a bunch of our articles, including a really, really long like how-to guide on how to do good customer service at a small business. But the separate question is how to make it more part of the culture. I think if you were to do those reports, like you have like your customer service reports that you do, that yes. you actually wrote about this, and I'm going to link the article. It's called Four Key Reports yep. that will help you deliver better customer service. If you were to tie those reports, like how they're doing, to people's goals, I know you set Correct. Goals for your yes. employees every 3 months.
Yes.
That's a way to kind of make it more tangible.
It is. And also to be giving your employees feedback all along the way. When clients are unhappy, and by the way, I mean, we have clients that are unhappy all the time in our business. We sell technology, so, you know, things go wrong. So whenever I hear from, you know, people are like, oh, no, all my clients are, everybody's happy with my business. That's just, I just never believe that. But when I get feedback from clients, the customer's not always right. Don't get me wrong. I mean, sometimes clients don't realize that why they're unhappy or, you know, and sometimes it's not.
Also, they're coming, you're the expert. They're coming to you.
Yeah, so. That's correct. So it's not like the customer's always right. But if they're unhappy with any of the people in my company, the people in my company get immediate feedback about that. I mean, I am really... I'm also pretty good at laying it out for them when they're, and I'm also very self people. I have clients that just do not like me, you know, and I have my, you know, I have people in my company saying, you probably want to, I don't think you really want to interact with this guy.
So
he's
what
not
do
a big
do?
Fan.
You send like Corey to them?
Yeah. I mean, I have other people in my company that work and engage mostly face to face with clients. And then the client will hear from, I don't know what it is. Some people who could not like me, Elizabeth.
It's not like you're opinionated or outspoken.
Right. Exactly. But actually, it's not even the opinionated outspoken. I'll just say the wrong thing or email the wrong, whatever. When that happens though, at least I accept, okay, listen, I can't be loved by everyone. So I want to make sure I match them with somebody in my business that they do get along with, and I'll stay out. It's like, you know, that's completely fine. I think it is just making sure that your employees are getting good feedback. That they understand that not everybody's going to love them, but then they should also understand if they're making any mistakes or what they could be doing better. I think that's also a really key way to improve customer service.
Yeah.
In a service business like mine, it's different if you're in retail. You can't match customers with your employees. Somebody comes in, wants a cup of coffee. You know, whoever's next to serve them is just going to serve them. In a B2B business, though, if you have a customer service department or if you have people providing services, field services, you know, whatever it is, you know, you can be flexible and mess. Sometimes personalities just don't jive. And then you get, you know, you have clients that are unhappy because they just don't like the person that you've assigned to work with them.
So do you tell your employees that?
I do. I'm pretty brutal about it. And I'll always, whenever I tell them, I'm like, hey, listen, you know, this guy, he doesn't like you. You did this, he has a problem with, but then again, there's 15 people that love you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And by the way, here's another 25 people that don't like me. You know what I mean? Like, this is we're all big men and women here. You know, we can accept this guy. He doesn't like you. So you got to step back and kind of have somebody else work with this person. You go and work with people that love you.
Yeah.
You know, because why would you even want to work with somebody that doesn't like you? So I just think matching people to, well, you can, again, it depends on the business, but if you can match the right people to do the work for your clients and customers, that also goes a long way towards good customer service.
So to summarize this, we're talking about tying people's goals to good customer service.
Yes.
And then setting your employees up for success by not making them work with people that already don't like them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think if you match, remember we're talking about small businesses here. So as you get larger and larger, there's more room for processes and, you know, training and all that kind of stuff. But matching them with the right customers, you know, that two-way street, I think it has a huge, huge impact on your customer service. And then finally, again, get back to technology. If you are a kind of business where you are B2B and you can leverage help desk technology, chats on your website, customer relationship management application where you can proactively surveys. So you really have an ear to the ground is how you're and you can respond fast.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Customers that's like a big that. Part of it is making it really easy for customers to get in contact with you.
Yeah.
I know I've talked about this before, but it happened to me again last week. Small business. I was trying to like get their out. I needed to get a holiday gift for someone. Right. Their hours were not on their website. So I looked on Google.
Yeah.
And the Google had the wrong, oh no, it wasn't that, it was a pharmacy. I needed to go, I had to get a prescription for my dog.
Okay.
Of course. And of course. They didn't have their hours on their website or their like address or phone number, anything.
Yeah.
So I was
frustrating is that?
It's a pharmacy.
I know. Why are you having to do investigative?
And it's a big brand pharmacy. It's not like a small pharmacy.
So that's not very customer service centric.
It's not. So make it easy for people to find you, connect with you. Make sure you're getting these reports. You're getting feedback from them.
Correct.
You're tying that to your employees' goals. You're setting your employees up for success.
Correct.
And that's at least a good start on company culture. And of course, the top down, like you've got to be like super customer centric.
Yep, that's correct. You got to be clear as to what your values are. And I'm telling you, if you demonstrate that, if you're in a small business where everybody's watching you, that message will get across.
Okay, we're going to be right back with Gene's Word of Brilliance after we hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for a great idea to start a new business? Well, Small Biz Ahead has 99 of them for you. Our new ebook, 99 New Small Business Ideas, is the first place you should look if you're interested in starting your business. You'll learn about everything from business service industries that could lead to lucrative freelance work, emerging industries such as solar panel installation and professional blogging, and even tech industries that could turn into the next big thing. Head on over to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to download your free copy today.
And we're back.
My word of brilliance today, Elizabeth, and I have to ask you this question, but let me give you the word of brilliance first. It's two words, of course. Escape room. Have you ever done an escape room?
Is it a game?
See, you have not. The reason why I bring up this word, and if you're listening to this and you've participated in an escape room exercise, then you'll find this interesting. If you've never heard of escape room, like Elizabeth here, and like me about 2 weeks ago, let me tell you what an escape room is.
Okay.
It is a room that you go to with a team of people. It's a business. You are tasked with escaping from the room. You are given clues, and then you have to figure something out, and then it gives you another clue. It's like a scavenger hunt inside of a room that ultimately leads you to either the combination or the key or whatever to unlock and escape out of the room. And the only way you can do it is to work together as a team to get out. So I was talking with a client of mine in New York, and like eight of them were being sent to do this escape, and it was their third time going. They loved it. They loved it, except for
so
one
that's
guy.
A good employee. What do you call that?
It's a team building exercise. That's exactly what it is. And I'm going to, you know, maybe we shouldn't talk about this on air, but I'm going to ask you for permission to write about this because I think it's a horrible idea. I absolutely, and it's funny, when I was talking to these people, this client of mine is a larger company, so the employees love it, but I don't know if team building exercises like this really, you know, you hear about companies all the time sending their employees.
You don't like team building.
I do not. I hear companies that send away their employees to like excursions or they go paintball, you know, or they do all these things. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. I am not convinced that those people come back from these things like an escape room and they're just better team players with each other. I just don't know. And I think
That's not really the point of team building.
Well, have you done any of this for the Hartford? Have you as a group ever had to go on a team building thing? And if your boss were to say to you, Elizabeth, we're going to take our group on this team to an escape room or to paintball, where we're going to as a team go against the public relations team here at the Hartford or something like that. What would your reaction be to that?
We don't do that. We do a lot of volunteer activities.
Okay.
And we do that as a team.
So let's talk about that. When you come out of that volunteer, first of all, it's a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah.
It's Communities with Heart probably is what you guys, you know, it's great. Heart Mobs, I'm sure, mm-hmm. right? Do you, that's great that Hartford does it, but as a team building thing, do you
the
think
thing
that that
does, I think it does do something. I don't know if this would be classified as team building,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times I end up getting paired with someone on a volunteer project that I kind of know in the office, but I don't know that well. And then we get to know each other really well.
Okay.
And then the next time I'm working on a project, I don't feel weird about going to them and saying, hey, can you like, can you give me, put me in the right direction for this?
So that maybe it does help. Maybe does. That's what
it's
it is.
It's more relationship building, I think, than team building.
So they give, and maybe that's the whole point of these programs. I really have not done many of these, you know.
You invited your employees over to your 4th yes. of July barbecue yes. thinking they would not come, but at least
they came, sure.
You got the invitation.
Oh, yeah, and a few of them came and it was good. And you know, I wonder if
did
I would
you actually talk to them?
Of course.
Or were you just like, oh God.
Oh no, of course, of course, of course. But I wonder if I were to take my employees to like a team, but like an escape room, that's the word of the day here. Would it improve my business? Would it improve how we interact with each other? Would it improve client service?
Are your employees already really close? Like, do they no. work? So
they do in the sense that they work together on projects.
So yeah,
they
so
do.
They already know each other.
Oh, absolutely.
Well. Yeah.
Everybody does know each other well. I mean, they talk to each other all the time. They overlap each other at clients, some more than others. But I just raise that issue as the word of the day for you. If you're listening to this and you're thinking of doing a team building, I'm not sold on them. I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are,
yeah,
and if you've had any good experience.
Leave us a comment. Gene, for 2018, then, I think
we should
challenge
do this?
You
I should do this?
Just do it one time.
You think I should
see
do
what
that?
Happens.
Yeah, you think? Yeah, it's
the thing is, you've got to choose something that people will actually like because...
Well, an escape room.
Yeah,
I mean,
that sounds fun. Do
yeah.
an escape room.
I mean, we're a project company. And, you know, I was thinking, like, if I got,
bunch
I don't know,
of nerds,
like, bunch of nerds of us and we all had to go in there, it would be hugely awkward. But then at the end, would it benefit my company? And I don't know the answer to that. I'm up in the air. So let's leave that open for discussion.
I want to say one more thing, though. I think it would be interesting for your company because you mostly interact with each other via Slack and email.
CRM and conference calls.
You
and all
know
that.
How weird it is when you're emailing with someone and you're like getting, you know, you get to know each other over email. I'm talking about in a work setting.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden you're face to face. It's like totally different.
It is.
So I think it might actually be really interesting
it might.
For you
It
guys.
Really might. It really might.
Is well, it going to bring you more business? I don't know.
More importantly, will it also provide better client service?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, do an experiment. 2018. Okay.
We'll leave that out there for debate, but I'm curious to hear other people's thoughts.
All right, so you're going to book the escape room and then come back and tell us about it.
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back in a couple of days with our next episode. This is about the latest and greatest small business technology, Volume 4.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.